Greetings, fellow Slingin agents of the wild. It's your trusted handler, Brian, welcoming you back to the Digital Rage Room. What we have queued up for you right now, Deep Waters Disavowed, the After Action Report. But before we begin, as always, I want to give the shout-outs where they're due. We have over on our YouTube channel, I want to welcome our newest subscribers, Samwise7RPG and RPG Dad. Welcome to the channel. We are glad you're here. Also, we have Henry Anderson, one of our longtime listeners, dropping a comment. It says, thanks you all. Nautical adventures for the two hard-boiled operators. Hi, Henry. Thank you for dropping the comment. I appreciate it. And you know what? These two hard-boiled operators, I gotta say, they did an amazing job with this AP this time around. And it kind of makes me feel like it's not such a disavowed, but actually part of the canon. They managed to make this season more of a definitive version of the Vision. So remember, if anybody out there wants to find us over on our YouTube channel, it's over at Rolled Hard 20. Please subscribe so you could get in touch with us. Leave a comment. I'll be more than happy to give you this shout out. Don't forget that there will be a slight break between the end of this season and when we start rolling out the episodes for Gaslight Disavowed, which will be dropping shortly, but not consecutively. All right, enough said. Let's warm up our dice and top off our glasses. Rolled Hard 20 presents Deep Waters Disavowed, the After Action. Enjoy, everybody. Where's that stop button? Ah, there it is.
Well, I was saying I listened to Deep Waters when it came out. I can't remember how long ago. I think I was coming back from somewhere in Central California where I had like 4 or 5 hours to kill. And so I was like, awesome. And I just play the whole thing, listen to it all the way home. And I don't remember a lot. It was a while ago, so I don't remember some of the details. But one of the things that Sammy and I were talking about is why it took him so long. I mean, yeah, I don't remember them getting too distracted, but apparently they did.
I think a lot of it was just they wanted to delve into certain things, but they took a different approach than the two of you did. Like when they got on board the boat, they wanted to go and see the ship. You know what? Let me lead us in and we'll talk about the differences between the two campaigns.
Yeah, and then real quick, let's make sure we don't lambast or anything. Just talk about the differences, you know?
Yeah. Greetings, fellow slingers. Welcome back to Roll the Hard 20. It is your trusted handler, Brian, and with me, my hard slingers of yore.
Hail.
After action report for Deep Waters Disavowed. So let's get into the nuances. Tone, I know you were talking about how there was a difference between when you had originally listened to Deep Waters and what we ran last night. For listeners, we ran this last night, the whole thing, from front to rear. What was it that you... What did you experience on this before we start pulling back the curtain and actually seeing how this thing was built?
Well, I had a great time. Sam and I both agreed that we really, truly enjoyed this. It was a wonderful way to spend some time. We started recording and then I was like, oh gosh, everybody's looking at me because it's like 5:30, almost 6, going, hey, are we going to have dinner or not? And I'm like, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. You guys go on ahead without me. But it was like, so fast, you know, the time went by in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, we went through it fairly quick. We did it in 3 episodes. I think the last episode's a little longer than we would have, but I wasn't gonna hold over to a fourth episode. It didn't make sense to do that when we were so close to the end. But let's just go ahead and start pulling this thing apart. You guys both got your notification. You guys had already wound up at the airport and you were waiting to meet Heisenberg at that point. We didn't go into the whole prologue backstory about what you guys were doing. We just jumped straight into the action because this was one of those things that we weren't really going to plug into a timeline. We weren't going to make canon. But it had been so long since the two of you had listened to it when it had first aired that... they were bound to be different seasons like what the previous agents did compared to what you did, they were bound to be different anyways, because your approach to investigations is completely different to how the other players ran it. So, and that's nothing bad towards them. It's just you both have a different approach when you're trying to solve some kind of a conundrum versus how other people may see things as everything's a nail, so here's a hammer, where you might just be, why don't we just cut that piece of wood off? You know, we don't have to worry about the nail anymore. So, you guys wound up at the Los Angeles International Airport. Heisenberg filled you in, basically gave you the same spiel that was given previously, talking about the Aqua Fortune, how it pulled, they pulled something up off the Alaskan Sea. They registered a mayday. They had casualties, and you were already 4 hours against the clock. And then by the time you guys got up there to Anchorage and then flew from where you were to the Alaskan Sea, you had already burned almost half your clock. Talk to me.
Yeah, it was pretty frantic. I remember playing, because we played all yesterday for, you know, 3+ hours right in a row. And it's like, okay, we got this much time. And then after each episode, I'm like, we're getting closer and closer to the clock. And then in the very last episode, we're like, shit, we got 4 hours to kill.
Yeah.
tied stuff up somehow quickly.
And I was surprised at that too. And not wanting to jump straight to the end of this, but when you guys landed and you saw four members of the crew coming down the deck towards you guys, helping you guys up, getting you guys back to the wheelhouse, and you realize that the casualties that they had sustained were actually members that had died. The captain, one of the engineers, and the doctor was in a catatonic state. And then trying to get information out of the crewmen, who were very resistant, very reluctant to give you that kind of information. It's like they were holding on to a secret, and they, when you guys were talking to them in the wheelhouse, you had separated them. Each had pulled First Mate Stevens off to one side, and Odesso had taken Gomez, Tomlin, and Burke to the other side of the wheelhouse. But they kind of led you forward of the wheelhouse. Did you guys notice that?
I didn't notice, no.
Tone, did you pick up on that?
I did not.
The reason why was because the map was against the back wall. Remember when I started describing the wheelhouse, I said there's a large map on the back wall with all these pins with the X's and stuff.
Yeah.
Of the Alaskan Sea, and you saw this and that. They all intentionally led you to where your focus was on them, and you couldn't see the back wall. So you didn't have an idea what they were doing in the sea, per se.
Well, you know, I didn't even realize that it wasn't even a real shrimping boat until later on, when it's like, there are no shrimp traps or nets or anything like that. Like,
I missed that too.
Yeah, I didn't even really put that together.
Yeah, it totally was not a shrimper. It was registered as a shrimping freighter, but that was what the cover story of the boat was. So
yeah, this one didn't leave us a lot of time for investigating, doing one-on-ones with all the people. I mean, we kind of ended up doing that almost, but it was more in the guy when we were in a situation and we were talking to him. You know, we never explored any of their cabins. We didn't, you know, go to the captain's room or the doctor's room, or sorry, yeah, you know, we didn't do anything like that, because it felt like we were immediately under the gun and it for time. And then it also felt that the what's his name, Gomez, just sent red flags for me for some reason, and that, you know, one of them was all kind of like, we should have never done, you know, it's like, all right, there's
no, he didn't do that though, he was pretty quiet. It was, I think,
Tomlin,
Burke,
right?
Burke was, he was either Tomlin or Burke was very adamant that they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't have pulled this thing up. And
Gomez
they
didn't want him to talk.
Yeah, he's like, hey.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. I saw that, like, immediate, like, you know, you know, hush, hush kind of thing. Don't tell these guys shit. It like immediately sent tinglies, my spider sense for each, my wolf sense.
Now, on the previous session that was run prior, the agents had gone straight from the wheelhouse to the UFO.
You know, they investigated. Bold move, Cotton.
Totally. And you guys didn't do that. You guys instead wanted to go down and see the doctor and see the bodies, which I thought was pretty bold. You know, I was, because it's originally written that you. What's that?
Self-preservation. I didn't want to go near that shit.
And it's written in there that from the wheelhouse that you guys would go to the ship. And I thought you were going to go there first. And then when you, Tone's like, well, let's go see the doctor. And I was like, oh, fuck. You know, now I got to thumb through. So, and I never put blinders on anybody. I don't tell anybody where they have to go. And you had so many hours to take care of this mission, but it was self-contained. So you were, when you decided to go see the doctor and the bodies, what were you originally thinking had happened on this boat?
I was thinking, how can this kill us? I wanted to see what happened to them.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, this isn't, you can't play Delta Green like you'd play Dungeons and Dragons. It was, what happened? We talked to the crew, right? Give us the background. They walked into the ship, two of them died, one of them's insane. Okay, well, let's figure out what we're dealing with. Was it a ray gun, a radiological agent? What was it?
Gas, yeah.
A gas, something. We don't know. Let's talk to the one survivor. He may be able to give us info. He can't. Let's look at the bodies, see if we can get an idea of what it is. It doesn't help us at all. Okay, well, now that we know that the bodies don't give us any indication of how they died, so that's bad. And the way I looked at it in my mind was, stay out of the ship. The ship is open. If anything's going to come out of it, it's going to come out. Okay, we can deal with it once it's out, because maybe the death trap is inside it. So
yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I was thinking. Sam and I were both on the same page without even having to say it.
Yeah.
Into the ship.
I didn't think there was anything running around the ship. I didn't know nothing about no alien running around causing havoc and shit. I thought it was the dudes went in there, saw something. The closest ones died, and the third one went insane. So I'm like, okay, we don't need to go there. And my whole thing was, I don't need to go into the ship. Yeah. All we have to do is figure out a way to blow up this fucking ship, and then we can, you know, get our, you know, chopper out of here. Like that covers up all the evidence. Like I wasn't expecting to be getting into firefights and you know face to face with a gray alien.
Well, the two things was, When those crew members pulled their comrades out by the rope and they took them to try to lend assistance and do whatever they did with them down in medical, that's when that gray alien left the ship. The door had stayed open, it left, because there was nobody else outside.
Yeah.
Had you gone to the ship first, you would have seen that there were two bodies occupying two of the three seats and that the third seat was vacant. And that probably would have clued you in that there was something running around on this ship right now. Plus, I wanted you to feel like, you know, are we dealing with an alien, or are we dealing with the crew? Who's the biggest threat right now? You know, that's kind of how I wanted it to play out.
Well, there was a small time when we first got on board the ship and all the crew was inside the wheelhouse and each is talking to...
Back up a little, brother.
And each is talking over to Jameson. And I'm thinking, Stevens, thank you. And I'm thinking, you know what? If I just pull out my gun and start shooting these guys, we've solved an entire issue. And I'm like, well, that's a little bit cold. It would work maybe. I don't know. Because we do have the discretion to clean everything, which would include the crew. So I'm thinking maybe we do that. And then the time passed and I didn't talk it over with Sammy. But I was thinking that just, okay, good. You're all here. Thank you. Bam, 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 bam. And that's it. You're all gone. Yeah. Now moving on. And the irony of it was, then we would have explored the cabins. We would have gone through each one of them because we can't talk to the crew anymore. They're all dead.
Now, I didn't have a contingency for you had you done that, but there was enough in place where I could have continued to do an AP. because you still had the gray that was running around, and you had
Hunt the Alien, the thing.
You had the doctor who was insane, and it had linked up mentally with this doctor. And I could imagine the doctor running around the ship with a flamethrower trying to protect this gray, you know, suddenly in control. You know,
it's being controlled. That last night.
What's that? Well, the flamethrower was, yeah. But you, let's get a little bit into the crew, and I could kind of tell you where else this doctor would have gone. Now, when you're looking at the crew, we have, first of all, they're not a shrimping crew, and the ruse can easily be seen through once you guys determine that there are no cages on board. And when you guys were looking at the freezer at the two dead bodies, there were a bunch of crates off to the side. Those crates were from a company called Quantum Horizons, and you guys have dealt with them before, and anybody listening to the show knows that we've been tinkering around with this nefarious entity. But the ship was out there under orders from this company to do something. The captain and the first mate really are who they are, but they're under the payroll of Quantum Horizons. All the other individuals are scientists, except for Gomez and Gru, who go down as engineers, but they're really more mechanics, meaning they're killers, basically. And so had you gone to either one of their rooms, they each had footlockers filled with weapons, grenades, C4, all the stuff that you would have needed, or all the stuff that the doctor would have used had he gotten loose. So, and I did toy around with that idea when we were playing last night that maybe I should have that doctor get loose, because we're starting to drop a lot of people, and I kind of wish I had 8 crew members instead of 7. And I was trying to strike a balance for a 2-man agent team to run through this thing. But when people started dropping,
it made it a lot easier not having to worry about that doctor. When we saw that he could always become untied somehow, or the alien could untie him. But when we knew that there were 7 people on board were there, and then 3 of them were incapacitated, then 4, then 5, it's like, well, we know it's not you, Stevens. There's only another guy running around, you know, or whoever Linus Tomlin guy was.
Yeah, but Tomlin was with Odesso, wasn't he?
No, I was with him up in the wheelhouse.
Who did you? Oh, you went down there with Stevens. You went down.
Yeah, Stevens and I went down there because he was guiding me to the engine room. Because once we found out that all the controls were destroyed, I'm thinking the next stop would logically be the engine room. Cut the power. Cut the means of propulsion. And turned out to be right. We go down. And that left Sammy alone with Tomlinson, who was still in the wheelhouse, just like, dude, I didn't do this. It's not me, you know?
I liked that exchange. I wanted this paranoia to kind of really come through. Like, I didn't do this. You know, how do I know where you guys were? You know, you guys are new to this ship, and now the ship's all fucked up. And, you know, and you're yelling at him, and he's yelling, no, it's your fucking fault. And it's going back and forth. I wanted that paranoia that you couldn't trust anybody, and that was where his mind was at. He couldn't trust you. He didn't know why you guys came in. They sent out a mayday, and they still haven't received help yet. But instead, they get a chopper that drops off 2 federal agents, supposedly. For all they know, they could be more hitmen sent to clean the ship.
Well, the thing that threw me at first, and I listened to the original Deep Waters today, and I found out the answer. Because I was like, if this thing is like, a private enterprise, and as I found out later, they had their own helicopter, it's like, why did someone call the Coast Guard? Why would they do that? But if the captain and first mate weren't part of this, they were just hired on to do this, I guess that's what Stevens would have done, is call the Coast Guard, breaking their little protocol, but not one that he wouldn't be. That's what he would normally do. But is that how it was in this? Did Stevens make the call and then they, like, it leaked out or something? They told him not to and then he did it?
Well, he was the one that made the call. And of the 2 individuals that are in command of the vessel, the captain and the first mate, he is definitely the weaker of the two. The problem is that when they brought this thing up and they started suffering casualties, to in their mind, all bets were off. This company, Quantum Horizons, can't pay me enough to stay on this ship any longer. They're the ones that broke the radio silence because they're like, we need to get off this boat now because we need help. meaning that right. we're you not gotta alone be alive on to get this paid. Ship. Yeah, you got to be alive to spend it. There's no way. I mean, they've already lost three men at the same time, right off the bat, and they're like, and now this thing's running around. Hey, we need some help. Come get us off.
Yeah, like I didn't realize that the setup. I learned more about it. Well, of course, now after the after action report, but when I re-listened to the first episode or the first Delta Green, I'm like, oh, Stevens made the call. Okay, then and I think some of the play, like the Gomez guy, was like constantly just missing. Like they never really talked, and he was always gone. So I'm like, oh, that's. I would have raised red flags for me too, right there.
And see, I have to use these NPCs a little different with you guys, because you're like me. You're very suspicious of everything.
What do you mean by that?
You see, Tone, you're muted, by the way.
There we go. I think by accident.
You know, we read into everything that we're doing, and if something's laid out, it's almost like Chekhov's gun, for lack of a better term. If you're going to pull something out, you know that it has to be used. So there had to be a reason why the door was open on the ship. There had to be a reason why this guy is wandering around, nobody could find him, and why shit's breaking down. Well, this guy is sitting, he's setting up satchel charges throughout the ship to scuttle the ship. Basically, he's probably going to scuttle it before you guys get an opportunity to do it. Only he's got to ride out of here. You guys still have to wait. You got to wait your time out. And then what are you going to do?
So when you said, talk about Chekhov's gun, when you said, yeah, you're walking into the freezer and you're passing boxes. And I was like, oh, what do the boxes say? Too dark. And I'm like, this is something I should be exploring, but I'm more interested in looking at the bodies and the boxes. So I'm just going to slide on by it. But yeah, if we had killed all the crew, and by nature and of extension, we would have killed the doctor too. He's over there going, I was like, all right, you can't answer questions. So pow, you're done. There would have been no opportunity for you to have him free, because we would have disposed of him. There would have been no sense leaving one guy insane, because it's a loose end. What if he?
But then there would have been five aliens, dude. Come on, we can't win.
Well, that was just a thought to me. And then, I mean, you wrote this thing so well that even if we'd killed all the crew, we still would have had all the answers in exploring their stuff. We didn't need to talk to them. It was an alternative. It was a fallback position, really. I was just thinking that because this may be a simpler way of going about it. I don't know. It did occur to me, and it fits in with his with Odesso's character. Like, yeah, we have unlimited discretion on what we're going to do. And if I can't determine whether or not you guys know what I think you should or shouldn't know, well, then the safest thing is to clean you too. And the boat's going down, so all of you are going down. So might as well just do that now. It solves a lot of problems later, because here you all are. Everybody's here. Good. Bang, bang, bang. And then talk to the doc. He can't sleep. Bang, he's done. All right. Well, now what? Let's go.
Ask the dead guys. They don't answer. Shoot them too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't answer your questions. Well, then you're no use to me. Bang.
Now, the previous agents never went and saw the bodies. They did see the doctor, but they never went and saw the bodies. They also ended up getting in an altercation with Gomez on the trawling deck with the huge deck spanned between them. And that's when the whole dialogue went back and forth and back and forth and stuff, because I really wanted some of that exposition to get out there. That you guys left no room for that. Not only did you inspect the dead bodies and start moving around through the ship and doing other things, but when Tomlin and Each were leaving the wheelhouse and you told him to go first or whatever, and he's like, fine, whatever, and you see this red dot on his chest extending out, and then it went off like that, and it was like, okay, you know, let's see what happens here, and we will catch up with you on the next episode. And I had rolled a 24, so I rolled, you know, that's basically the damage, because it missed the lethality aspect of it. We started the next episode and he died. He was dead. Only now,
what would have happened if Each had gone first?
He still would have been shot at. He might have survived it though, but he would have been shot. Somebody
probably
was gonna
have
get shot.
More hit points than the scientist kid.
Yeah, he had six. That was it. I mean, these guys are they're paper mache.
Yeah, I would have double. I have 14 hit points, and I had only lost one because the deck claims everyone in this AP. I listened to the previous one. Agent Ramirez coming down. Whoop! There goes the ankle, just like me.
Yeah. Everybody kind of gets tweaked on that. And I wanted to show you that it's cold, it's wet. This ship is bobbing. You know, it's to be on the outer deck is just as dangerous as whatever may be moving around in the corridors. So the whole thing is like a lion's den, and the whole thing is hungry. So, but yeah. I would encourage any handlers that run this in the future, try not to get your agents in a position where they may want to off all the crew members at the same time. don't leave them that opening.
Yeah, because the thing is, only one of them would have been armed, right, Gomez?
Yeah, only Gomez was armed.
And he probably would have said, fuck those guys, and he would have shot and ran. And so we would have killed the first mate and then Tomlin and Burke. So there'd still be Gomez running around, you know, right. So it's like, it'd be the same situation.
But while you would be running around with him, yeah, well, you're running around trying to get him in the dark, because as he starts shutting things off and you start moving by flashlight, eventually you're going to turn a corner and that alien's going to be face to face with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the whole thing, was I wanted it to be more of a, you're looking for a human. Then all of a sudden this thing pops out and you're like, I totally didn't expect that. You're right, you didn't. I make a sanity save, you know?
I didn't realize there was a live alien running around. I figured it was in the ship and that's what killed the guys or something like that. So that was the last place I wanted to go. And so, yeah, it actually worked out really well. Like, once again, listening to the first version of this, what was really exciting about that, we didn't get to experience it, thankfully, was the ship was detonating when they were trying to get out. And that was a really cool element of this that I am very glad we didn't have to deal with. They also were able to, I don't know, somehow save the lifeboats. When we got to the lifeboats, when we started seeing all the flares and the flashlights missing, we checked the lifeboats, they had been smashed up. You know, I assume that was Gomez that got to everything before he could. And then so, and Odessa was great. He's like, we got to get to the engine room. And like, that was like, yeah. If anything, if he's trying to sabotage all this shit.
Well, we should tell the listeners that not only is Odessa a naval man, but Tone himself is from the Navy. So he knows all this shit. And I got to try to be as tight as possible so I don't completely... I don't want to disrespect the man, the brother.
Not at all. Now you can't. That's never going to happen. Nah. Never happen.
Too good.
Shut up.
You're too good to me. I'll drink to it though.
There we go.
Is that your apple juice there, handler?
Aye. But I'm really proud of the way both of you guys ran it, because you ran it different than it had been ran before, and I think that I had I said something about it last night about how, when we finished up, how proud you guys make me, just the way you keep me on my toes. I mean, it's only like 13 pages long, this AP. And that's with the people, that's with the schematics of the boat and everything else, and the title page. But at times I was flipping through this thing, trying to find information that you guys wanted right before it was scheduled to be out. And at some point, I think I just put it off to the side. I was just like, okay, we're done with whatever's on the boat. We have to do this, you know, whatever's written, we just have to do this viscerally. So, hang on, I gotta move this cat. Hold on.
All right.
Fucking cat.
Ryder's menagerie of pets.
Yeah.
I hate gets this. Rid of one, two more take its place.
Yeah, that's the way it is. I still have no pets.
Oh, lucky.
When we're talking about that, Ryder, you've got this menagerie of pets and they never seem to go away. You get rid of one and two more take its place.
Oh. And now one's a bird.
Yeah, it's they're multiplying. But I was really happy with how you guys ran it, because it kept me feeling like a player too, not just somebody running you through the structure of this entity that was built, you know, like, okay, build this thing, put people in the house, and you guys move through the house. I mean, we were switching floors, the house turned into a blimp, and then it turned into a submarine, then it turned into an airplane.
You guys
split up. That was crazy. And I know that you were saying when we began that it's more difficult when we're running four agents and I have to split you guys up. And you were saying, yeah, you know, it'd be nice not having you switch between the two scenes all the time. And I remember when you guys had split up on this one, I said, each, as you do this, we cut to Agent Odesso. And you're like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I got you, fucker.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, we had to do that. Like, situation was going down and we needed to cover more ground. And I know that every time we do that, it's lethal for Odesso.
yeah.
Purple globe and freaking getting shot. And but it actually turned the opposite way, because all the alien did was give him a little love pinch or whatever it was, and he was fine. And I was the one getting the high-powered scope blowing up shit around me.
Well, I was curious.
That was where I decided. That was where I decided not to kill the alien. That I should try to save the alien. When, you know, he had me, he could have done whatever he wanted to the character, and that would have been it. And he said, "No, I just want to go home." I'm like, "Okay, I remember now. We try to save this guy." Yeah, because you also worked it into Convergence, where Coldwell was still seeing the alien. You know, because they never saved it; it just sunk into the sea and died, and it was still like talking to him. I was like, oh yeah, I remember those crossover elements better than I remember Deep Waters.
I remember listening to that, and it's like, hey, I'm dying, I'm an alien, can you put me in your lifeboat? Sorry, you got to go back to the ship. There's not enough room.
Not enough room. And he just kind of stood there waving at him as the ship went under. That was pretty funny.
That was like really dark. Like, I liked how you said too that that's going to haunt his character. And then, you know, after playing with Coldwell so many times, seeing how that has haunted him, whether it's real visions of this alien or real speech, or it's just his psyche kind of hanging on to the frayed ends of sanity, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's he himself who's talking to himself, thinking it's the alien. You know, when people start having a break in their sanity, for lack of a better term, and they start developing multiple personalities where they start conflicting and arguing with each other in their mind. But instead of him acknowledging that it's himself arguing with himself, he thinks it's the alien arguing with him.
Yeah.
So he could kind of put that on that. And who knows how long he'll keep that under wraps, where people don't really see it for the longest time until it starts becoming a impediment to his work. So
yeah, and I liked in this this campaign how the original team played it similar but different enough to where it felt like it was two different adventures. I mean, it was two different adventures, but just the way that stuff went down, like their fight with Gomez, was relatively easier in the sense that he's there, you already got a guy with the gun. It was like in our campaign, this is a long range sniper with a high powered rifle, and I got a dead crewman who had an axe, and I'm like hiding in the dark, you know.
Dude, that was awesome. I could just imagine
throwing that phone out.
Yeah, like you had set it up with the light kind of like angling into a corner where it wasn't blatantly obvious what you were doing, and you were just kind of sitting back in a corner with your blade crouched low. And the round goes through the portal of the door and hits the phone and knocks it down.
Good shot.
And then after a few minutes, he's like, goes through the door, and he's just waiting at the door to see if anybody moves, you know? And then, you know, he's already slung the sniper rifle. He's coming through. He's got the handgun and the knife with the light on the handgun. And he gets around the corner and sees it's just the phone, that it's not even you. And then it just, I mean, dude, that was awesome. Talk about
game over at that point.
Yeah.
It's funny because, unfortunately, unfortunately for him, I hit both times. I would have liked to have seen what would happen if I hit once and missed once.
Well, if you had missed, I could have...
Or was that good?
Yeah, no, you're breaking up. Say that again.
Oh, yeah. What I really... well, it's unfortunate that I hit both times because I really would have liked to have seen a fight between this guy and Ichi, because this guy is a killer, like lethal with this friggin' rifle, just sort of badass soldier of fortune type guy, and that could have been a really good combat between the two of us.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ichi, let us have a hand-to-hand right now. Let me get my dice.
There we go, man. It's on.
It is so on. This is totally improv, folks. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Yeah. Ichi, are you ready?
Yeah, let me bring up my character sheet. How are we doing this? Starting far apart with weapons or what?
I'll lead us in. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Now, obviously, the AP is done, but in a tangent universe, each you're hiding down in the darkness, jackblade triggered up, waiting. You see the door open, and you see a figure standing there. It's got a handgun in one hand and a knife in the other. See the sniper rifle slung across his shoulder. He doesn't move in right away. He's waiting. After a few moments, he doesn't see any movement. He slowly crosses the room of the accommodations room to where you had set the phone up. As he aims his weapon around the corner, he sees the phone laying on the ground. Bullet in it, but no body. He spins on his heels. Tell me what he sees, Ichi.
He sees Ichi coming down on him with a 3-foot blade of steel.
He's going to dodge.
Okay.
Go ahead and make your attack. Go ahead and make your attack first. Yeah.
Well, do we need to know whose dexterity is first?
Yours is higher. I know that.
Okay. So
you got a 15. He has a 14.
So that means I attack first then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then he doesn't get the dodge, though, right?
I thought he gets to dodge even if you get to attack because it's hand-to-hand weapons.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know if... But that means like his move is going the same as mine.
Yeah.
We'll play it that
but
way.
But then you'll get to attack again, because that will be his move for that round.
Oh, okay. Okay, so he's going to dodge. What do I need to do? Just attack?
Just attack.
Okay, my melee weapons is 53. 67, that's a miss.
I rolled 100.
Oh, a critical failure.
Critical failure. So... Not only is he barely able to get out of the way, he turns his back. Your blade comes down across the barrel of the sniper rifle. Go ahead and attack again, each.
All right. Under 53. 20, exactly. 4. Ooh, 10 damage. One better than last night.
Damn.
I did double nines last night.
Now, I could try to dodge again, but I'm not going to.
Oh, bring it, knife. Gun.
He looks at you and says, I'm going to kill you the old-fashioned way. He tosses the handgun off to the side. In midair, he switches his grip on the blade and comes down on you. With a 32, that will hit.
All right. Oh, I can try to dodge.
You can if you want.
Yeah, let's try that. What do I got to do?
Roll your athletics.
Okay. It's not dodge itself?
That is part of the dodge.
Okay.
I'm probably totally wrong. I hope I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Well, my athletics is... Is it? Oh, 50. So I just got to roll under 50. 97. That's a miss.
For 6 points of damage as this blade comes across your midsection.
It's a tough knife.
He attacks again. Because you dodged.
Yep.
27. The blade comes out going the opposite direction for 2 points of damage.
All right.
He looks at you as you're bleeding and says, I'm going to take pleasure in gutting your partner too.
We're just friends. my attack?
Yes.
All right. That's a 14.
Oh, shit.
Is he going to try to dodge?
He's going to have to. He doesn't.
Okay.
I'm going to need to drink the lust of this
and
whiskey.
It's a fucking 10 again.
Oh.
I one-upped it each time from last night. Holy shit. But he got some blood, though, this time.
Yeah. He's bleeding heavy. He sees you bring this sword again, and he tries to move. Underestimating how much blood he's already lost, he kind of lumbers in his execution of this roll, and unfortunate for him, your blade catches him right across the throat, severing his head from his torso. Gomez falls to the deck of the accommodation suite.
Oh, he had a damn good knife. What is that, a 1d6?
1d6 plus 1.
Oh, damn.
Ooh, plus 1.
Huh. That's because of his ability, though.
Oh, my Tonto is plus 1d6. Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a blade.
I was thinking D&D dagger.
Good job, Eech. Well, you still came out on top.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he got to you know, get a little... Get a little payback.
All that for a drop of blood. Well, I'm have any other questions for this AP as we bring this after action report to an end? Now's the time.
It was good. See. It was fun to play. I enjoyed it myself thoroughly. I know Sammy did too. And well written.
Well, thank you, brother. Sammy, this should get your Cajun whiskers in a frisky.
What's that?
I'm going to be running you guys through Gaslight next.
Oh, right on.
One of our disavowed. So I'm excited about that.
All I remember about that one is that the one where Rice is trying to hotwire a car in front of like a Popeyes or something?
Yeah, that is not in the AP, by the way.
Well, no, that's fine because the thing that I remembered about Deep Waters was the alien was in the ship. Like, and I just remembered that ending. So all I remember about the Gaslight is that there's a car to hotwire if we need it.
Yeah, that's not in the AP, nor is the Leave It In, which is the motel.
The Leave It In, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, is it a homebrew or a...
Yeah, it's a homebrew.
Oh, okay.
Yep, takes place in Louisiana at the French Quarter. Nice. Yeah, and it's basically about a friendly who became an agent and then got disenfranchised with the agency and absconded with a bunch of personal files as well as some artifacts.
Oh.
And he's causing problems in Louisiana right now, so in the French Quarter. They have a 20 on where he basically is at, but they're just like Deep Waters. You have a particular window that you have to accomplish this within because he may only be there for that duration. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
But I look forward to running you guys through that one. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Were there any other ones we haven't done?
No, those are the only other homebrews that I put together that you have not been part of was Deep Waters, which we corrected, and Gaslight. All the other homebrews you guys have all been part of. You've been part of Lot 27. You've been part of Collateral Damage, Sins of the Father, Deep Waters now, Under a Pale Moon.
You've got to rerun that Sins.
Yeah, wouldn't that be badass? Now that you guys know a little bit more.
Still learning the game, you know?
Yeah. Well, we could maybe take a poke at that later on. We could run a Disavowed, comeback kids, you know?
So. Well, the thing is, it's like replaying the video. We already know how it's supposed to end. It's like, yeah, this is history. No problem. Pow! You're done. You know? That's it. We're not even hesitating this time. Everybody gets shot.
Well, other than the structure beams of something being the same, everything else I usually mix up. So it's, you know, what you think you remember from going to that little building across the street from San Onofre would be completely different than when you revisit it once again. So,
yeah.
Gotcha. Cool.
But,
all right, yeah. Brothers. Yeah, it was fun playing them all in a row like that. That's,
yeah.
That, to me, that's really the way to go. It makes it more enjoyable. It makes it more frantic.
Well, we'll set aside another day where we could just run a whole block through again like we did. I enjoyed doing that, and I look forward to doing Gaslight Disavowed. Anyways, brothers, if you got nothing else to say, I got nothing else to say either, other than see you next time.
See you in the next session. Cheers, brothers.
Die, dogs.